chasing eggs around out there. They haven't yet caught the chicken that lays them colored eggs. They'll be over in just a minute. Good to see all of you here. Good to have Brother Bedell and his wife, Miss Felicia, with us, visiting from Arcadia. I didn't recognize him, and he threw me for a loop when he just said Arcadia. I said, now who in the world do I know from Arcadia? Brother Jim's brother. It's good to have you here with us tonight. We hope you enjoy yourself. Enjoy your vacation. We're glad that you're able to stop in with us. The kids had a good time getting the eggs out, and they may be a little later than, well, they are later than normal, but it's just one of them things. If you want to find your place over in 1 John, 1 John 3, that's where we'll start tonight. Brother Ray, we'll just skip it tonight. We'll get them coins next week. Brother Mike said we might have to start issuing smartphones out to those kids with square readers. They can start taking credit cards. Let's go. They'll get your coins next week or after church. Maybe we'll do it after church right over there. We're going to pick up where we were on sin. We started looking at the subject of sin, and I want to get a good look at it. We may spend maybe three more weeks in this subject. I don't know. We'll just go as the Lord leads. 1 John chapter 3, verse number 14. 1 John chapter 3, and verse 4, I'm sorry, verse 4. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. So that's where we'll start with sin. When we understand that sin came by one man Adam. Back in the Garden of Gethsemane, we had one law. God said, this is my tree, the rest of this you can enjoy. It was only law. But by one man, sin entered the world. So everybody sinned because of that. But we're going to get a good look at it and notice a few places from the Word of God where and what sin is. We started out there in the book of Psalms, the Wednesday before, looking at David, where he said he had sinned, he had had iniquity, and he transgressed. It's kind of like a progression. It just got worse, it got worse, and worse. Remember, I told you that many of us, sometimes, surely by accident, I don't think any of us just wake up in the morning and say, well, I think, you know, I'm going to find myself in some sin today. But it happens. It just simply does happen that way. And so what is sin? Sin's a transgression of God's law. There, if you'll notice in 1 John 3:8, he that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Now if you hold your spot in 1 John and flip back over to John chapter number 8, the Gospel of John. John chapter 8, verse number 44. Gospel of John chapter 8, verse number 44. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh lies, speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So 1 John says it comes from the devil, and then, of course, the devil is... somebody might need to go check on them. They shouldn't be this long. This is getting me worried here. They're coming in now? Sorry, guys. All right, they're coming in now. And then, so sin is a transgression of the law of God, and then it comes from the devil. The devil from the beginning has been there. You know, it's more than just Matter of fact, go to 1 John chapter 5, verse 17. 1 John chapter 5, verse 17. Notice here. 1 John 5, 17, the Bible says, all unrighteousness is sin. And there is a sin, not unto death. So, it crosses many boundaries. Of course, transgression of God's law is what it says. But all unrighteousness, and God wants us to have a good understanding, a good coverage of what it is. And not only that, if you'll flip back to James chapter 4, James, book of James, chapter 4, verse number 17. James 4 and 17. The Word of God says, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth not, to him, it is sin. So omission of what we know to be good, according to the Word of God, is sin. Transgression of the law is sin. All unrighteousness is sin. And it goes even deeper and further than that. Look over in Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. And verse 23, Romans 14, 23. He that doubteth is damned, and if he eat, because he eateth not of faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And so as you keep going to dig into the Word of God, and you ferret your way through Scripture, you find that we have many things that could offer itself to be sin. All have sinned. Every last one of us sinner. But there's different ways. And so that's why the Bible teaches us that we have to be ready and prepared with the whole armor of God, that we may be able to withstand the wiles of the devil. Because sometimes we get in our mind, well, you know, sin is, it's this. We're going through Scripture and it's many different aspects of sin. It doesn't stop there. Go back over to Proverbs. Go to Proverbs 24. Proverbs chapter 24 and verse number 9. Proverbs 24, verse number 9. The Bible says, the thought of foolishness is sin. Wow. So you see, I'm really wanting to delve into this, because I know some of y'all, when I started this, just think, oh God, he's going to talk about, you know, drinking and smoking and fooling around, shacking up. And dear friend, that just covers a part of it. Sin, it's widespread, and that's why it's such an epidemic of it. We can't just get locked in on just little old bitty pet things. Because that's why the Bible says the wiles of the devil. He knows our weakness. That's why the Bible says over in Hebrews that we're to lay aside every weight that doth so easily beset us. You know, there's something about each and every one of us that's going to get us every time. It's just there. It's part of our makeup. It's part of our weakness there. Back over in Genesis chapter 6, look how bad it got. Genesis chapter 6. Oh, he's going to hit on my television shows tonight, so I'm going to skip Wednesday night. No, we'll leave that. Let the Holy Spirit of God chisel that out. So that's another day, another area, all those things. I want us to have a good, solid understanding that sin is broad-based. And we have to be ready, prepared to protect ourselves. That's why we hide the Word of God in our heart, that we might not sin against God. The Bible says there in Genesis chapter 6, and look at verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Look over Genesis 8, Genesis chapter 8, verse 21. The ark is settled and everything's done with, and here it goes. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done. So the thoughts, our very thoughts, dear friend, can be, and you know as well as I do, you sit out to have a good day in the Lord, you get up, spend some time in Scripture, some time in prayer, and in the midst of Bible reading, Scripture reading, all of a sudden, just a thought out of nowhere. Whether it's about, you know, somebody you're having problems with, you're angry at, you know, you're upset with, somebody did you wrong, you know, 42 years ago, and it'll pop up in your head. Like, wow, man, if they was here, I'd poke them in the nose. Well, where'd that come from? From the heart. I mean, the Bible's very plain and clear. Look over in Matthew 15. That's why the Bible says, I hide the word of God in my heart that I might not sin against God, because God knows our heart is wicked above all. Matthew 15. Verse number 19. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. Murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. Look over, if you would, James again. James chapter 1. He said, Pastor, you're about to wear the Bible out. If we wear it out in one evening, we're in trouble. James chapter number 1. I think so many times, because of the nature of the nature of the old Adam, that as soon as somebody touches on a subject like this, is almost a subject like touching on money. As soon as you touch on money, man, people just clam up. They don't want to hear it. You say, well, we're going to learn about sin on a Wednesday night. Yeah, it's Bible. And we need it, because each and every one of us have a nature that's in us that will lead us astray if it's not restrained. And sometimes it's because we have no understanding of what's before us. James chapter 1, verse 15. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. Sin. Where's that lust? Those thoughts. Thoughts in our mind, and it's conceived. You know, like look at something, I say, boy, I sure deserve that. Well, if we rightly look at our lives, we don't deserve much. I mean, we've been pretty blessed to have eternal life. I mean, we have. But our mind, our heart, it'll begin to run, you know. Boy, I wish, and parents, we have to guard ourselves. Because if we're not careful, we'll start comparing our children with other children. Man, if I had that as a son or a daughter, everything would be great. They're sinners saved by grace. You don't know what that other parent has done, went through. I mean, just be careful what you wish for. Boy, I wish I had this object. Boy, yeah, you get that object and it eats up and consumes every bit of your time and your life. And even if it's for a short time, you know as well as I, new things eat up a lot of time quickly. And then where they end up? In the closet, in the garage. But what has it done? It's broken habits. Habits of spending time with God. Habits of spending, because it's fresh, it's new, and boy, you get that thing, you work for it, you desire it, and before you know it, it's done broke some good habits that you set, prayer life, fellowship with family, fellowship with friends around the things of God. And that their thought comes in, and then the fruit of lust is sin. We can't handle it, I'm be honest with you. Proverbs puts it like this: can a man hold fire in his bosom and not be burned? I never in my life heard some of the most craziest things. I says, well, that'll never get me. That may not, but there's something else that could and would. Don't have confidence in yourself. I'm telling you, you're fixing to fix yourself up for a fall. And I'm going to tell you something, boy. When sin gets done with somebody, it brings forth a sting. A sting of death, don't it? When it's finished. And you say, well, Pastor, you know, I went through some sinful things in my life, and I'm still walking around here alive. Yeah, but there's a part of you that's been hurt. You hurt somebody else. There's a part of you that has literally, emotionally, physically died. Sometimes, especially with previous relationships, boy, if we're not careful, we bring that baggage right over into that new relationship. That's why it's so careful. Be careful about those types of things. Because you bring that over into that relationship, and before you know it, you're insecure about something somebody else done to you some years ago. Boy, that didn't scare you. And that's a part of the result of sin. A result of sin. Look in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Look in chapter 5, verse 11. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. You'd be honest with yourself. You don't have to tell me. They, many times that we just openly and out front and in everybody's face just sin. It's usually hidden, isn't it? It's usually in the darkness. It's usually away from everybody until we're like David. We just so used to it and so involved in it and so engrossed in it that we just send a letter and have somebody, you know, not literally kill, but, you know, we did Joab with Uriah. He said, Joab, take this letter. He involved another person. As far as I can tell, a lost person. I don't know. Maybe Joab got saved, but he didn't act like it, didn't live like it. And I can't know his heart. But he had enough in him to have some fear of God, because you remember when David wanted to count the nation of Israel, including the Levites. Joab said, I know, I can't do that. So maybe he did. He was, but he took that letter, obedient to the king, and went right out there and delivered the death. Took that letter, opened it up as it received it, read it, and put Uriah right out there in the front. Told all those other men to fall back. Left Uriah there to eat those arrows. Listen, most of the time it's in darkness, isn't it? It's hidden. But I'm telling you, it doesn't stay there. It does not stay there. You keep delving off in it, you know, you get proud. You say, well, I ain't got caught now. I ain't got caught. Well, it just keeps going. It keeps it. Before long, when it's finished, man, it is trouble for a lot of folks. You know, like when you throw that rock off into the pond? Just a big old splash right there, but then those ripples. Kind of a biblical principle, is it? No man lives to himself, no man dies to himself. It happens. What's the result? It's a result of sin. There. Look over in Deuteronomy chapter 9, if you would. Deuteronomy chapter 9. See what the Bible says there about this topic and the subject. Deuteronomy chapter 9 and verse number 7. Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 7. The Bible says, remember And forget not how thou provokest the Lord thy God to wrath in the wilderness from the day that thou didst depart out of the land of Egypt until ye came to a place ye have been rebellious against the Lord. You continue in that sin, dear friend. You continue walking down that path, and it becomes a rebellion against God. What you're saying is, God, I'm going to do this regardless. And that is that not what David did? And it cost him. I'm going to continue down this road because I enjoy the experience that I am experiencing right now. Let me tell you something. Sin is pleasurable for a season. Then it has its payment that comes due. And boy, oh boy, it's trouble. I mean, it is big trouble. So what basically happened, you begin to say to God, well, judgment wasn't laid upon me swiftly, so I'm just going to do what I'm going to do. Be careful. Be very careful, dear friend. Because it is going to lead you into a heartache of trouble. Look over in Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews 6. Say, good Lord, there's that many verses about sin in there. We just got started. There's a lot. And we haven't touched the Ten Commandments yet. Thou shalt not. This is just God's mindset. This is God's mind on sin. Hebrews 6, verse number 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. A lot of times we allow ourselves to get involved in these dead works that we have to go back and repent about. Get involved again, got to go back. Get involved again, got to go back. You remember the illustration I told you several times. If you walk down to the Circle K from here to the church, and you walk down there, and you get there, get you a Polar Pop, come back out, and you walk back here to the church, it's the same exact distance, isn't it? The only difference is you spend all that energy getting down there. Now you're tired of getting back. And that's sin. It's a weight. You keep going. And you keep going. God ain't going to move, dear friend. God's fixed. And you ain't going to get it right till you get back to God. And guess what? You got all that baggage. You've gone the same amount of distance, dear friend. I don't care if it's 2 days, 3 days, 5 days, 6 days. You've got to come back to God, but you're going to come back to God tired. Now listen, I'm going to be honest with you. He's going to come looking. He's going to come searching. He's going to come calling. The Holy Spirit of God is going to come and say, come on back, come on back, come on back. He leaves the 99 and seeks after that one. He's going to come, but I'm telling you, it's harder getting back. It's more than just the tiredness of carrying that sin around and hiding it. You know what a lot of it is? Embarrassment. What are they going to think about me at the church? What in the world is my church family going to think? I'm going to tell you, if they've got any grace of God on them at all, they're going to be grateful that you've returned. If they got any spirituality about them at all, they're going to be thankful that you've come back. Glad that you're back in the house of God. They're going to follow through on other biblical principles of ye which are spiritual, lift up such a one that's fallen. And they're going to try to get you back up and prop you up and be like an Aaron and Hur when you've been tired in the battle and tired in the fight. Moses kept, let the Lord down and the nation of Israel would start losing the battle. Aaron and Hur would prop his arms up. They're going to come along beside you if they got any bit of God on them at all. Now I'm going to tell you, there are those that will point fingers. But God's got scripture for that. He talks about beams and specks. They can't see because their beam is sticking out. They're blinded. So you just come on back and let them say what they're going to say and let them be used. And if they're saved, let them be a tool of the devil if they want to be. Or they can learn to yield themselves unto the righteousness of God as a tool to God and be a reconciler back to God. Sometimes, I tell you, dear friend, we've got more grace with lost folks than we do God's people. For some reason or other, and I don't understand that. I do know that there are things I should not get involved in. I do know that. And by God's grace in His protection and your prayers and your help, if you come along beside me, I will never get involved in them. But dear friend, if I do, I pray that... I'm not praying that you get me back up in this here, but I pray you get me back on the race with God. I'm just to be honest with you, there's some things that men of God can do that can just disqualify them altogether. They just need to sit down and they need to just serve in their church where they're at.
Amen.
Be found faithful. I don't mean run them down there and stick them off, but I'm telling you, they just need to get back and learn and love, and you love on them just like we would anybody else. Sin is awful. Do you understand the cost of God that He paid for sin? I mean, we've got a God that paid such a debt for you and I and our sins. And it's amazing that we're going to get to look at this, and I'm going to stop here and look at other verses, but I've got this thought, and you know, Brother Jim, I've been pondering this and pondering this and pondering this. And I've said this in the church, and I'm not backing up on this. Listen, sin is sin. I just hadn't figured out how to say it right, because then we start justifying. But there are greater sins than other sins, I believe, different. Because God says these are abominable. He said it. Then the other ones, He says, come and find repentance. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Your natural born self is going to send you to devil's hell if you don't trust Christ. It's that simple. I just hadn't figured out how to say it right. I just haven't. Even Jesus Himself said that you have done the greater sin. That's what Jesus said. What verse is that? Somebody get your Bible app out and find me that verse. We're going to read that verse right now. Brother Josh, you got that thing? Help me out. The greater sin. Jesus said it. I looked at it today and I don't remember where it was at. Look at all those iPhones. Who?
John 19:11.
Now, I'm telling you something, dear friend. And there's a sin unto death. That's what 1 John talks about. John 19:11. So I've got to stop because this is a deep one. But I want to read this one to you. John 19:11. Jesus answered, "Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivereth me unto thee hath the greater sin." I'm telling you, all of us have seen it. And it's no crutch. And this is why I'm so careful to even get into this. You can't look at somebody else and say, "Well, I'm not as bad as them." We have to compare ourselves to Jesus. But there are, I'm getting to this, the greater sin. And then He asked, what was it? When the tower fell upon them, the Tower of Siloam asked, He said, "Have these done more sin than the others?" This thing of sin, it's got me thinking, dear friend, I'll tell you. It'll help us, I tell you, if we get a good, clear understanding of this. That's why I said we may spend another 2 more weeks in here looking at that. So I hope it's been a blessing. I hope it's helped you, because I'm thinking to the point where we're at here in America that if it's not open and gross, we just ignore it. But open and gross sins don't become open and gross sins. It starts with little bitty steps that lead to that. We need to be against open and gross sins, dear friend, But we need to be against the things that lead up to open and gross sins. Father, thank you. Appreciate this opportunity, Lord, to be with our church family and for the kids, Lord, being able to have such a good time at the house of God. We pray, God, as we study this subject, it's heavy, it's difficult, it's deep. We need your help. It's your word. You live in us. We ask you to teach us. Open our hearts and minds. Help us get a good understanding. Not so we'll be interested in sin, but Lord, we will know the cost, the depths that it actually cost. If you just think back to the original sin, God, it just boggles my mind that one man's disobedience caused Christ to die on the cross for our sin. Lord, I just pray you'd help us have a good understanding. Bless us tonight as we go our way. Keep the bus riders safe. Thank you, Lord, for the workers that we had tonight, the visitors here in the house of God. Protect us, keep us safe. Bless, Lord, this weekend as we celebrate the Resurrection Sunday with the rest of the world. But we're so thankful, God, that we, as Bible believers, get to celebrate every Sunday your resurrection. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed. There's no...